Hi, I'm Heather DeLuca, and welcome to Story of a Song, where I tell you a few facts you may not know about your favorite songs. This is the story of how the pursuit of the perfect sax solo almost ruined what would become a number one hit record. Careless Whisper off Wham's breakthrough 1984 album Make It Big is a song George Michael wrote when he was just a teenager. Pretty serious subject matter, huh? Song that seems to pour out of George with its sad, guttural vocal. A heart-wrenching testimony of regret and loss. But the recording of the song was anything but easy, and it's all because of a saxophone. I think we can all agree Careless Whisper is as well known and loved for its sax track as it is for its unforgettable hook and deep lyrical content. The song is instantly recognizable within just a few beats because of that iconic sax solo. It sings just as much as George's vocals. But did you know that it took 9 saxophone players to get it to sound like that? Let's go back a bit. Careless Whisper actually started with Andrew Ridgely, George's counterpart in Wham. He's the one who started strumming up his musical track. Here's Andrew reading from his memoir, Wham, George and Me, to explain.
My songwriting aspirations had been given a boost by a generous 18th birthday present, a white Fender Telecaster with a black scratch plate and a rosewood fretboard. One particular idea seemed to evoke a sadness, suggesting a plaintive melody and a slow tempo rhythm. A few days later, Yogg came round and I played it to him. "What do you make of this?" I said, working through the chords. He looked at me a little surprised. "Oh my God, Andy, that goes perfectly with an idea I've had going round and round in my head." I carried on playing the chords, Yogg singing what would later become the haunting saxophone melody on Careless Whisper. Through an extraordinary coincidence, our separate ideas complemented each other perfectly. Careless Whisper came together.
The ideas were a match made in heaven, and surely any professional saxophonist could play the melody George was hearing in his head, right? Not so fast. Careless Whisper had already been recorded in Los Angeles with established producer Jerry Wexler and well-known session and tour saxophonist Tom Scott. However, before letting it be sent to radio as a single, George decided to re-record and produce the version we know today himself. Because although he enjoyed working with Wexler, the end result still didn't hit the right note. Pardon the pun. Upon its re-recording in London, George auditioned another half dozen saxophone players who just couldn't satisfy his ear. Ray Worley, the eighth, had just laid down his take, and George could have left it at that. Instead, he asked his secretary to reach out to English jazz saxophonist Stephen Gregory, who was in town that same night for another gig.
Actually, I had a session in the afternoon. I was doing it with somebody in Wembley, then I was playing in the evening, had a gig. George's secretary phoned me up about midday and said, "Oh, can you come to the studio? George has been trying to do this thing." And I said, "Well, look, I won't be free until 11 o'clock midnight." He said, "Oh, well, come whenever you can." So when I got there, it was about getting on for midnight, and there was another saxophone player in the studio, Ray Worley, who I knew quite well. And Ray was a bit fed up, so he said, "Well, I'm going, you can do it, I've had enough of this." So he left, and so we went into the control room, and he said, "This is what you've got to do," and he played this thing. I thought, "Well, that's fantastic." So I went in the studio, and I tried to do it, and my saxophone is an old Selmer from about 1954 or something, and I didn't have that top note, so it didn't really sound that smooth, you know, it didn't sound that great.
Stephen was also the one to suggest dropping the sax solo down to a lower tenor key.
Having had a bit of experience, I suggested to him, I said, "Well, look," I said, "if you took it down a semitone, I'd have all the proper notes on my horn, you know, and we could see how it sounds." So that's what he did. So I went out again and I played it in the lower key.
And voila, success.
And as he was playing it back, George walked into the studio and he said, "Oh, I think we got it." Then he pointed at me, he said, "You are number 9.
Ninth time's the charm. Still, despite its obvious perfection, George Michael didn't have the highest hopes for the song's success.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a song that was written by a 17-year-old, but I don't understand why not, because I didn't know anything about life, and I certainly didn't know anything very serious about romance.
He and Andy were kids when they wrote this song. That may be a fact. But they were also a pair mature beyond their years. I mean, there are a few teenagers capable of experiencing, let alone conveying, such dramatic emotional turmoil. But in February of 1985, the ballad soared to number one in the U.S., where it stayed for 3 weeks. It had such an impact that Billboard named Careless Whisper the number one song of 1985, showing audiences Wham had depth beyond their free-spirited dance tracks like Club Tropicana and Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. In March of 2023, Careless Whisper's music video hit 1 billion streams on YouTube, a reflection of its timeless appeal. And that is the story of a song you can hear on 100.7 WHUB. Thanks for listening.